Long ago, Tillamook dairy farmers built a ship because it was the only way to share their dairy with the world. It's like they say, when you really love dairy, you build a boat. Or something like that. Tillamook. Extraordinary dairy.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Three quarters of secondary schools report having no applicants for recent teaching vacancies due to the ongoing retention and recruitment crisis. This is according to a survey carried out by the Principals and Deputy Principals Association, and we're joined now by its president, Michael Murphy. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Pat, and thanks for having me on.
Now, how comprehensive was this? I mean, is it the case that sometimes you ask a question and it's only those who are affected will bother to fill in the questionnaire? So how convinced are you of these figures?
Well, to be honest, Pat, we're very convinced because 111 schools responded to the survey out of 700 and approximately 750.
But that's a tiny fraction of your total. And you know what I mean? You ask questions which are probing about particular problems, and the ones with the problems take the time to reply. The ones who don't have a problem say, oh, I'm fine, I won't bother with that.
Well, of course, yes. And I think, Pat, we would find in all our meetings throughout the years that this is the most problem that's brought to our attention is that principals cannot recruit teachers to their schools. And I think the survey reflects that information.
Yeah, it does for those who replied. Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking of your guys are teaching mathematics in the secondary schools and a sample that's 1/7 of your total and extrapolating that to reflect the whole is not good maths. And it's certainly not good statistics.
Of course, well, I think in a survey, if you get that level of response, it can be relied upon. That it's a very, it's a very high response rate that we get in our surveys. So I think that it's something we can rely on.
111 out of 700 is a good response? I don't think so.
Well, we think it in terms of surveys. Well, okay. Well, I think the facts that came through in the survey is what's evidenced by our members throughout the country.
Now, I'm not denying that it may, that it's true that there's a shortage of teachers because we hear it anecdotally all the time. So if it were true that of all schools that three quarters have a problem in getting teachers, they advertise a post and nobody applies for that post. I mean, that's a shocking crisis were it to be true.
Well, I see myself in our old school, in my own school here, the whom we advertise posts, we do have to re-advertise on a number of occasions for certain positions because we get no applicants. So I know as a school principal myself on the ground that this is something that is definitely happening. And if you look at all the ads that are posted up, you will see that the re-advertisement is placed beside a lot of them. And that's the reason is because no applicants have applied for them.
Now, when you advertise, what precisely are you advertising? Because if this were primary schools where one teacher teaches virtually all the subjects, that's one thing. But when you're advertising a secondary school job, you might be looking for cover, for example, for maternity, for French. And that might not be a full week's work for the applicant. And that might not be what you're offering. So what kind of job is being offered?
Well, generally, the jobs that we speak about here are jobs that are permanent, like full-time jobs in the schools. The substitute cover wouldn't be generally advertised. This survey will be reflecting on actual posts that would run for the full academic year.
So anyone who applies and gets one of these posts has a full-time job with pension, holiday, entitlement and all the rest?
Yes, and that is one of the problems when we're advertising the jobs that you may not have a full-time position, so you may have 11 hours from 22, so 50% of a post, and when we're advertising that is adding to the crisis, and we're always trying to advertise full jobs so teachers can apply for them to have a stable career path.
Yeah, no, that's what I was trying to tease out with you, and you said, no, what they're talking about are full-time jobs, but then you say that often you can only advertise an 11-hour job, which doesn't give you any holiday entitlement or anything like that.
Well, an 11-hour job, you would have a holiday entitlement, but it's pro rata at 50%. So that's the way that post-primary differs from primary schools. And so obviously, as you said, a primary position that's advertised would have a full-time job teaching a class, whereas in post-primary, it's slightly different in that you may only have 5, 6, 7, 10 hours available for your school. And that's why maybe schools should club together to try and advertise one full job between them to solve this crisis.
Now, what are the principal subjects where the crisis is most acute?
Maths, Irish, French and construction are the main ones that we're finding difficulties with recruiting.
And what's the analysis as to why people are not applying for jobs in these topics?
Well, personally, I think myself, the main reason is the teachers have transversal skills that they can apply, and they can apply to the private sector. And when they qualify as a teacher, the private sector are increasingly looking towards teachers to fill their own recruitment gap, because we're very acutely aware that there's a national recruitment crisis across all industries. And in private sectors are looking to teachers to fill their own recruitment crisis. And that's the reason that's coming in there. And people aren't choosing to do the 2 year master's to become a qualified teacher. So when they finish the degree, they're saying, okay, it may be better for me to go into the private sector than actually go on to be a post-primary teacher.
Now, 2 years to, if you like, transfer into the teaching mode from being just a regular graduate in mathematics or French or Irish or whatever the subject is. What happens in the training colleges during those 2 years?
Well, like the training colleges, they're teaching the pedagogical aspects of teaching, but they also have teaching practice available. And so when they go to the schools and they deliver blocks of teaching to get experience in front of the class, mm-hmm. because I suppose as a teacher, it's one of the most daunting things to do is to sit in front of a class and deliver classes. So that's a key part of the training as well.
So this is the problem that we have. Obviously, if you go to a primary teacher training college, you know precisely that someone who goes there, wants to become a teacher. Now, we know some of them head off to the Emirates or whatever to make money. That's a separate question. But in terms of what you're looking for people who go through a university course and then at that point they decide, uh-oh, maybe I'd like to do secondary teaching. So you have no real idea of the pipeline, because these are, if you like, random graduates who end up being teachers after they do that 2 year course. Isn't that it?
Yeah, exactly. And so like someone at the CEO point makes the choice to be a primary school teacher, whereas somebody goes to college and maybe they might do commerce and then decide to be a business studies teacher after that. So you're looking to recruit them once they finish their primary degree. Now, there's some exceptions to that. So, for example, engineering, they make the choice at the start that they're doing the engineering degree that qualifies them as a teacher. But generally, yes, they choose after their primary degree if they want to become a teacher or not.
So, Michael, is that part of the problem that you have no idea from year to year what's in the pipeline?
Well, you don't have an idea. And that's where I suppose a national campaign of advertising to encourage people to become teachers could be very beneficial in this situation, because it is a viable career path. Like teaching is a viable career path. And we do need to encourage more people to enter into that profession.
Mm. I'm just wondering, do we need to reform the whole method of secondary teacher education? You know, to maybe model it on the primary school, where you have expertise in all the key subjects in a secondary school teacher training college. So you'd know exactly what's in the pipeline.
See, I think that would be very difficult to do that, because the subjects are there's a broad range of subjects post-primary. So people need to get qualified and be expert in a particular subject area before they specialise as a teacher. Whereas primary, I suppose people are teaching just the general introduction to the subjects. So that would be the difficulty in that.
Now, talk to me about the costs of those 2 years. How much does it cost to gain those pedagogical skills?
Well, it'd be a traditional master's degree, so in the region of €5,000 per year to gain those degrees. So they are quite expensive after you finish your primary education to do that. So they will be comparable with other master's degrees, but it's a choice that you have to make then. Do you want to do that to go into the teaching profession?
Now, what about the state intervening either and cutting it down to 1 year, which is a suggestion I've already heard? It used to be 1 year, went up to two, now it's back down to one. That's one option, and that would save you €5,000 if you were going to convert from a regular degree to a teaching situation. The other alternative would that the state pays for it, but on the basis that people commit to teaching for a couple of years before they head off to pastures new.
Well, yes, and I think if you cut it back to 1 year, the key thing would be that it's available, like you get 1,000 teachers available immediately this year, because they become straight into the system.
Yeah, but that's a one-off saving, isn't it? You get it 1 year. It might address the problem, though.
It could address the problem in the short term, definitely.
Yeah, and the idea that if the state picked up the tab that people would sign on and commit themselves to staying teaching for a couple of years in exchange for free fees for that postgraduate course.
Well, I think that may cause difficulties with other sectors who also has to experience the recruitment crisis, such as nursing, etc. Would that be available to everybody? I think that would be looked at in more detail.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, though, because it would guarantee that people who accept that, and I suppose a bit like the army officers buying themselves out of service, if it turned out an offer came on they couldn't refuse, They just borrow from the bank and pay the state back the money it owes, and then they would be free. Do you know, they take off those golden handcuffs, if you like.
That'd be a solution, yes. Yeah, it'd be a solution, yes.
What other solutions do you have in mind?
Well, I think to try and encourage the teachers to return from abroad is a key thing. So we have about 4,600 teachers working abroad. And when they come back into Ireland, they start at the very bottom of the scale. So if they are awarded credit for the skills they have outside the European Union, we think that would be a huge incentive for people to return back to Ireland. So they're not starting at the very bottom of the scale, because the likes of Dubai and these countries, they are very attractive to young graduates to work abroad for a period of time. But the skills they're getting abroad are definitely transferable back into Ireland. So I think if they're awarded incremental credit, that they would be able to actually, we'd recruit more of those to come back into Ireland quicker.
And do you think there would be an acquiescence to that situation, you know, from the teachers who are here? You know, you got someone who's got 4 years teaching experience in a school. Someone comes back from Dubai after 10 years and they're earning a lot more than the 4 year person who's put in the time and effort in that very school. And some carpetbagger comes back from Dubai and is earning far more than they are. Do you think the teachers would accept that?
Well, I think it's generally accepted at the moment, because if you have industry experience and you come back into teaching, you can count your industry experience towards incremental credit as well. So the precedent is there. I don't think it's going to be that people look at that from the point of view that, oh, someone went abroad. If you're working in the private sector and you come back into teaching, you can start at a higher point of the scale. So I think it's equivalent to that.
I'll read you some of the text, Michael. We need to attract back the teachers working abroad on extended leave of absence. They should be offered an incentive to return to the Irish workplace in 2025, like a significant tax break for the remainder of their leave, whether it be 1, 2, or 3, or 4 years, but they must return in 2025. How do you think that idea would play? Earned tax-free money in Dubai, they come back here and they don't pay any tax here. I can't see that flying.
No. I can't say that's been realistic, because that would really be unfair to the teachers that did stay in that situation.
In reality, know why there's a shortage of teachers, Gardaí and nurses? The answer is pay. The old adage of a Gardaí and a nurse being able to buy a house no longer holds true. People need to realise that the housing disaster is affecting more and more of our lives. The haves with houses are still going to suffer impacts, even if they think they're grand. No teachers for their children, for example. I know many young people who are only choosing areas that offer the biggest salaries. No choice to give you any chance of buying a home in the future. Teaching simply doesn't pay well. That's according to Mick. Wondering what subjects are affected and the duration of contracts. Would it not help if teachers who want to emigrate, which is fine, resign from their posts here to free up full-time jobs? Michael, what about that? The people who are on extended annual leave, 1, 2, 3, 4 years, whatever. And I know the rules are a little more complicated than that simplistic view of things. But there are people who have jobs being kept for them while they're away, while there are people hungry here for a job at home and can't get one.
Yes, and we do find that the people are requesting career breaks, but the problem being that if they're refused, they just resign their positions in the instance, and that then adds to the crisis.
But isn't that the whole thing? Take your chance, off you go to Dubai, and if the government, for example, allowed that experience to be reflected in increments when they come home, wouldn't that be better? Say, off you go, take your chances, make your money, don't pay any tax over there. Come back. We'll give you your increments when you come back. But don't be a job blocker.
Well, I think, I suppose, this goes back to the question I said at the start, to make teaching more attractive. And one of the perks of being a teacher is that you are able to take a career break. And by removing that, yes, you may get a short-term gain, but overall it will further erode the profession. And that's something that we need to be carefully considered.
You're saying that the very idea, as you're training to be a teacher, that part of the reason you train is that you know you can head off to sunny parts for a couple of years and block a job from some young person who's happy to work for the money that's available here and pay the taxes and all the rest. That people, they see that as a perk, that they can be a job blocker.
I wouldn't have figures on how many people have taken career breaks to go abroad. Traditionally, it's older teachers that would take career breaks. The younger teachers probably don't have security of jobs. That's why they go abroad in the first instance. And I'm not sure how many people would be blocking jobs in terms of the older teachers that are going abroad.
Who in their right mind would take up frontline jobs like these today, dealing with aggressive parenting and students, and the same with other jobs like policing? That's from James. Even if there are only 10 hours available in the school should be allowed to employ the person as a full-time position. Plenty of other supports the teacher could be doing in the school. They're all strapped for time. There's plenty that can be done. There's a good idea. You know, if you've only got 11 hours, it still becomes a full-time job, because that teacher, if they're willing to and if the rules allow, can help out in other areas. You know, can sub up maybe for someone who's got the flu for a few days, that kind of flexibility.
And it would be great to have that flexibility. And the only way the teachers, the principals get that flexibility is the teacher allocations are increased to the schools. And that's a solution that we definitely welcome, that there's more allocation available to allow us to do what that texter suggested.
Are the teacher jobs advertised as permanent jobs? That's a question from a listener.
Sometimes teaching jobs are advertised as permanent jobs. It depends on the actual post that's available.
And again, that's if you've only 11 hours and it can't be advertised as a full-time job. Question from another listener. How many of the teacher vacancies are full-time and outside of Dublin? I mean, is rural Ireland well equipped with teachers?
If you asked me that question 3 years ago, I'd have said yes. But now we feel the crisis is coming across the whole country. Like, so our members have been in the whole 26 counties, and it is across the whole country.
Another related question. Are the teacher recruitment difficulties evenly spread across all secondary schools, or is it certain areas, certain subjects, or certain schools experiencing most difficulties? For example, Dublin or rural, arts or science, private or public, Gaelscoil or mainstream?
Yeah, it'd be across the whole sector, but definitely Dublin is more affected, and the subjects that I listed are more affected.
Let me see more comments coming in. Of course there's a shortage. Where else can you get a couple of years training without having to sign any contract to compel them to stay for 2 years after they qualify? Then they travel to wherever and take career breaks. It's all a joke. That idea that 2 years training and then straight away you can qualify for a career break, even though you mightn't get it, you can qualify for it.
But no, I won't agree with that now, Pat, because you can't qualify a career break until you have a permanent teaching job. So, like, as soon as you have it,
you can apply for a career break.
Yes, you can apply for a career break.
And isn't these have been granted. It's, I mean, on the face of it, isn't it mad? You get a job. It's a bit like someone who's, applying for a job knowing that tomorrow morning they're going to apply for maternity leave.
Yeah, but generally people will be applying for career breaks. It may not be to travel abroad. It's generally for personal circumstances that may be childcare crisis, etc. So there is other reasons people are applying for breaks. I wouldn't say the majority of them so they can go working abroad.
The lack of security of tenure is a huge problem. 12, 14 hours a week, no holiday pay, no permanency or hope of it, no ability to transfer between schools with terms and conditions, teaching a variety of subjects that you're not qualified for, getting EAL and wellbeing hours, either no training or support. That's from Owen in Offaly. On the post-primary gaps, I wanted to share some additional insight. I've worked in computer science for 10 years, also studied French in college. I recently applied for Hibernia post-primary with the intention to teach computer science and French. However, because my level 8 is only a higher diploma, my application was rejected. The teaching council will only accept bachelor degrees and do not consider experience. I was happy to pay and retrain, as I would have loved teaching, and being a mum, a part-time Hibernia would have allowed me to continue working. I was told the only way I could retrain was going back to college for 4 years full-time. I think industry experience should be considered in the absence of a bachelor's degree. And I can tell you something, for nothing, that a bachelor's degree that you got 20 years ago, you know, if you haven't, stuck with it and improved yourself over that 20 years, it'll be as irrelevant as if you never had a degree in computer science, for example.
Of course, yes. And and I think all our teachers will keep up to date and keep current with the trends in their subject area. I think that's definitely what's happening on the ground. I think teachers are excellent at that in terms of delivery of their courses.
No, but that's apropos of having experience, that there should be some way of assessing, because someone who's worked in the field would be a much better teacher of computer science than someone who's never actually worked in the field and has always been a teacher. People are not doing teachers' masters now because it's too expensive, and with the level of assignments and study, you cannot work at the same time, so you cannot earn money to live. Your secondary school recruitment and retention, you're on the money in suggesting there are impediments in the job description that prevents applicants applying. Same applies in hospital medicine, where many jobs have such needlessly high specifications that instead of, say, the job being open to 100 Irish doctors in Australia, the job description means only 3 or 4 of such doctors are actually quote-unquote eligible. Then the HSE says no applicants. That's from Cathal O'Sullivan in Rathmines. A lot of interest in this topic, I have to tell you, Michael. So thank you very much for joining us. That's Michael Murphy, President of the Principals and Deputy Principals Association.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.